Dear listener, if you like this podcast, I want to tell you about something else you might enjoy as well. Every week, I host an online meetup. In each meeting, I give a presentation on some programming topic, or I bring a guest to the group for a discussion, or I do a code review on a member's code base, or I do some kind of consultation with one of our members. Coming to this meetup is kind of like listening to this podcast, except it's live and interactive, which means you get a chance to ask questions and participate in a conversation with other programmers like yourself. The meetup is also a fun place to meet some new friends. To learn more and to sign up, visit codewithjason.com/meetup. Now on to the episode. Hey, today I'm here once again with Adrian Marin. Adrian, welcome to the show.
Hey, Jason. Thanks for having me. It's nice to be back and nice talking to you, as always.
Nice talking with you, as always, as well. So I feel like I've talked to you several times recently, because we have talked several times recently. I went and visited you in person at Friendly RB in Romania in September. It's now December. Does it feel like the time since Friendly RB has just flown by?
Kind of, yes, kind of. So, yeah, I was all, as you might know, as actually we spoke about this, I did the triathlon, the conference triathlon. So we went to Uruco, Friendly RB, and then Rails World all within the span of 3 weeks. We had three conferences back to back. And everything just flew, like the time flew by then. But afterwards, when I got home, I was a little bit, stressed out, and I couldn't work very much, but then I just took it slowly. I spent time with the family. I did a little bit less work, and now I started to get back into it. But yeah, like you said, time just flew by, and like it's already December. It's already the end of the year.
Yeah, it's crazy. And so for
I was friendly. How was Friendly for you?
Oh, it was excellent. Yeah, this is the first podcast that you and I are recording since then, right?
Yep.
Yeah, so I think maybe a good way to use this podcast would be to give a little recap. It was awesome. It was one of my favorite conference experiences that I've had so far.
Cool.
Yeah. Yeah, so I had no idea what Romania or Bucharest were going to be like, but the conference pretty much was about what I expected, which was I expected a small group of people. It was actually a little bigger than I expected. I think you had like 150 people in attendance. Is that right?
Kind of, almost the one, but maybe 140, something like that.
Yeah, to me it felt like. It felt like kind of a lot of people, not too many people, but it felt like a good number of people. And then I was actually surprised by like your level of professionalism and polish and all that stuff, as contrasted with my conference where I just do everything on lazy mode. So that was really nice. Yeah, and it lived up to its name of Friendly RB. I felt like there was... As silly as it might sound, I feel like the very fact that it was called Friendly RB like made people behave in a more friendly way.
Yeah, it just set the tone. It just set the tone. So I had this call with my co-hosts, my co-organizers about how to call it. And we were thinking, you know, Romania RB, Bucharest Conf, whatever. But then I was just like, let's just call it Friendly RB. It's going to set the tone. It's going to be, everybody's going to know why they're there. And this is the kind of conference that we want to build. This is the kind of experience we want to make. So, yeah, I think that... that the name just lived up, like the conference lived up to the name. Actually, I've seen a lot of people make connections and talk, and you know, we stayed friends. We still talk over WhatsApp with some of them. So it was just great from that perspective. Yeah,
yeah, and that's like for me one of my main objectives when I go to conferences is to make lasting relationships.
Yeah.
And I don't know if that's like how most people look at it or whatever. You know, there's the professional development aspect to it. But like, honestly, at least for me, I can only speak for myself. The professional development aspect of it is like a small fraction of why I'm there.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like the, you can watch some talks and maybe you'll get like a neat idea or something like that. But really, I think the main value is the people you meet. Because like, if you're going there for career reasons, like for me, the benefit is that I can meet people who can help me later in my career and I can help them rather than the lessons I might get from the talks.
Yeah. No, I think I've seen different types of profiles of people. Some that come just for the hallway track, just want to hang out and talk to people and meet new people. Some that are thinking about, like you said, like career developmental things, you know, just networking, making connections in which maybe they would help in later on. And I've even seen that profile of people that they come for the talks. They want to see talks. And some of them, they want to see tech talks and some non-tech talks. And the ones that want to see tech talks, they're a bit more, I don't want to say vicious, is going to sound too harsh, but they're going to be that they want to see something technical. They want to learn something that they haven't seen already, like online or somewhere else. It's not just the networking aspect, but yeah, like there are different types of people and different people get different things from coming to these events. For me personally, I think it's the whole networking and the hallway track and meeting new people. This is the most important thing that the most important, you know, thing that you can get from going live at the conference. Because the talks, you can see them on YouTube and most conferences public put them there. But meeting people, shaking hands, joking around, you know, these are things that are very difficult to do in a Discord server or on GitHub or, you know, on Twitter. Of course, you make Twitter friends, but when you meet them in person at conferences, that's just amazing. It just completes the whole thing. That's what you should do at conferences. Go talk to people. I know everybody says go talk to people, you know, but you actually, you should do that. Just go introduce yourself. Sometimes it'll work. It will just spark something cool. Like everybody will smile and you'll become friends. Sometimes it won't. That person might be hungry, tired, just not have, you know, not be in the mood, but at least you tried. And, you know, by trying a few more times, you'll definitely make friends, definitely find people, interesting people to talk to.
Yeah. I've adopted that habit. Like if I'm, you know, between the talks at Friendly RB, we were kind of congregating in that room that was adjacent to the stage room or whatever. And I would see people just like kind of standing around. Sometimes a person would be standing around alone. And I would just go up to them and be like, "Hey, I'm Jason." Like, that's all.
Perfect. Yeah. That's just and perfect. Then, that's what you have to do.
Yeah. And then people know that the appropriate response is like, "Hey, I'm Adrian," or whatever. And there's a couple like seed questions that I always use. Like one good one that like basically is always applicable is like, where do you work?
Okay. That's a good one. Yeah. You're right. Another one that I use is, do you go to events often?
Yeah.
Is this your first conference for the year, your last conference of the year? Because people are going to start talking about themselves, like, "Oh, I have a family, I can't really do it," or "Yeah, I've been to a few of them," or, you know, and you spark a conversation. Yeah, these are good. This is a good talk. Yeah,
that question's definitely one that I use also. And even though it's like kind of trite or whatever, like just asking where are you from, that's another thing. Yep. Sometimes that leads to something interesting, sometimes it doesn't. But if you have like these go-to questions, like I think you only need a few, like those are kind of my three go-to questions. And that's enough, because then once the person starts talking, I can ask follow-up questions.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, if a conversation didn't spark up from these questions, then maybe, you know, there's maybe not something there. But these are good ones. Another one would be, you know, if you enjoyed one certain talk, you know, maybe, "Oh, did you enjoy the Hotwire talk," or whatever. And then again, you'll get people to tell you more about them. Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, go and talk to people. Like this is what you should do at conferences. You should meet people. And even if you're like, I know like developers are introverts. I'm an introvert as well. And I just, you know, you just have to force yourself and say, okay, you got to do this, man. Now you go and ask that person, how are you? Where do you work? Are you coming to conference? Are you going to conferences often? And things will just take on from there.
Yeah. And if you really want to get serious about it, dear listener, I would highly recommend the book, How to Win Friends and Influence People.
Yeah.
Which is, definitely. Have you read that one, Adrian?
Yeah. I've listened to it.
Yeah. So yeah.
I've listened to the audiobook. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Like I was kind of like at this point, like the stuff in that book kind of seems like common sense. But yeah. At one point I didn't know it. I read the book and I'm like, oh, you should like not just talk about yourself the whole time, but like ask the other person questions. Interesting.
Interesting.
So like that kind of helped change the way that I converse with people. And you know, what's funny is like, there's this saying, I don't even know if it's from that book or somewhere else, but like to be interesting, be interested. And I remember this one conversation I had at a conference, and all I did the whole time was ask the guy questions. And at the end, he's like, this is the most interesting conversation I've had at the conference. It's like, yeah, probably because it was talking about your most interesting topic, which is yourself.
Of course.
Yeah.
Of course. Of course. No, that makes sense. Yeah, I feel that book gives you like, it was a good book. I mean, I don't enjoy reading too many books, but that one was one that has a lot of like bullet points. You should do this. You can do that. This is good to do. You know, this is, it's very, you know, concise, and it's not beating around the bush or, you know, fluffing or anything. It's very good. And I think developers will love it, especially like introverts.
You
should check it out. Yeah.
Yeah. It helped. It helped me out a lot. Okay. So those are a couple of our conference going tips. Were you about to say something, Adrian?
Yeah, I wanted to ask you, what did you think about Bucharest? Like you said, you know, you've never been to Bucharest, never been to Romania, and maybe you had some ideas about it. Maybe, you know, some thoughts. How are you now after coming back? What did you think about Bucharest and Romania?
I really liked it. I haven't visited a lot of places in Europe. Somebody told me that Bucharest is known to some as Little Paris.
Yep.
Yeah.
Go for it.
So as you know, I visited Paris earlier this year. And so like...
Was it like that or nothing like that?
Well, I mean, in some ways it was, and in some ways it wasn't.
It wasn't.
One way in which it was, which was unexpected to me, was the food was so good. Like in Bucharest, the food was just as good as it was in France, if not better. And that's a high bar. Like Paris is like the best food I've ever had in my life. And so for Bucharest to tie that level, I was really surprised in a pleasant way, obviously.
Yeah. No, definitely I felt like in the past maybe 10 years or so, maybe 5 to 8 years, we've seen more and more craft restaurants, craft beer places. Like people are starting to you know, look out for what they eat and where they eat, and so that that, you know, sparked an interest from people to, you know, come in with fusion kitchens, fusion, you know, food and whatever. So yeah, one of the things that I wanted to do, like I was super afraid that people are not going to like enjoy Bucharest that much. So one of the things that I did was compile a list of restaurants. Like I have a few that I like, but then I started asking people, and then I figured out, man, that we have quite a few good restaurants in Bucharest. So I think on the list we had maybe 20, 30 good ones. And yeah, I think everybody enjoyed having that list on their hand, you know, to, you know, don't have to wander around where to go and eat. Yeah, but we have good food and good coffee. Like a lot of people said that we have good coffee as well.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that was my experience also.
You know why they call it Little Paris?
Why is that?
So before the communists, the big history is that we had a king, we were a monarchy, and then the communists came and we became a communist country. When the communists came, they had this idea of, okay, we got to make everything efficient, and we got to build many things and achieve many things, because this is how we are, as communism is better than anything else and whatever. And our president was the kind of guy that would have a look over the plans of the city and say, okay, from this point to this point, we're going to demolish everything and going to build 1,000 apartment buildings. And they're going to be like super crowded and one into another, but whatever, we're going to build 50,000 places for people to live. And that's what they did. But before they did that, when we were a monarchy, we had many buildings that look like the buildings from Paris. So even now, there are some neighborhoods that survived that period when the communists came and destroyed everything. So if you're on certain streets and you have a look, like if you take a photo, you wouldn't even know if you're like in Bucharest or Paris or other, European capitals from that time. So yeah, we have the communist part of the city and the old part. So before, it was called Little Paris because people really, really felt like being in Paris. We have that in books and in songs and in other places.
Interesting. History. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I definitely got that vibe. So I'd highly recommend it. And tickets for Friendly RB 2024 are already on sale, right?
Yep. 18, 19th of September 2024 is going to be after Juruko, which is going to be in Bosnia and Herzegovina, and before Rails World, which will be in Toronto. And hopefully I can find, again, a few people to do the triathlon with. And for those who don't know, the triathlon, which happened this year, was the same thing. We did Juruko, and then next week, Friendly, and then Rails World. That was cool. That was a very cool and special experience to meet the people, meet the same people in more conferences, in different conferences, actually, because each one was a little bit different.
Yeah. Is it publicly announced where Juruko 2024 is happening?
It's in Bosnia and Herzegovina. So it's going to be, so officially it's going to be in Tuzla in Bosnia and Herzegovina, but we'll need to see, because I think it's not very accessible. Whatever, I don't want to say anything. I don't know. It's going to be in Bosnia and Herzegovina 1 week before Friendly RB.
Okay.
But it's going to be cool. I spoke with the organizer, and oh my God, they have such big plans, and there are so many cool things to do there as well. I'm even thinking about doing an activity like after the conference myself. So gathering a few people and going somewhere. So I'm still waiting for the official announcement, and then we're going to make plans for people to do stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. That's really nice. I would, I want to go to Friendly RB 2024. I just can't pull the trigger yet because I don't know what's going to be going on with my life by that point in time and all that. That was really, really cool about it is like I never would have had a reason to go to Romania otherwise. Like, for example, one time I taught a class in Bulgaria, and I would never have a reason to go to Bulgaria, but I did that for that. And it's kind of nice to be like taken to these places that you never would have a reason to go to, and places that you know nothing about. Like, I literally knew nothing about Romania before I went there. And then in addition to the conference, me and my family, because I took my family, we did some things in the area. Like, we went to a castle. We did some tours in I think it was the Transylvanian Alps where we went. Yeah. Stuff that.
The mountains. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so all that stuff was really cool because, again, we never would have gone there otherwise.
Yeah, so when I did Friendly, I wanted to do some activities, and then I scouted out, doing the mountains or doing the delta or the seaside or whatever. And then again, I figured out, Hey, like Romania has quite a few things to offer. Quite like we have cool mountains, like nice ones you can go and do hikes or, camping trips or whatever. We have the Delta, which is amazing. It's like filled with biodiversity. It's the only big one in Europe. We have the seaside, which is also amazing. We have like Bucharest and a few other historic cities. And I feel like they're not like being pushed to, tourism, to outside tourism places. Like, of course, all Americans know about like Paris and Berlin and London and Barcelona and so on. But like you said, like there's no like real reason to go and visit Romania or go and visit Bulgaria, right? But I think like having something as friendly RB, could be, the nudge that some people need to, just, okay, let me book the ticket. It's going to be like my the reason that I'll visit Romania or Eastern Europe this summer, end of summer, So yeah, that's it's a good reason to visit. Like you come to friendly and we'll show you around. We'll show you around.
Highly, highly recommended. Adrian, I want to give you a chance to talk a bit about Avo, because that's a project you've been working on for some years now. Tell us about that.
Okay, thank you. So we just launched version 3, where we have so many cool things. Like, I don't want to go through my list of cool features, but it's just more customizable. It's
Wait,
just
first
more
of all,
tailored.
what is Avo?
Okay, for sure, for sure. So Avo started out as being an admin panel framework for Ruby on Rails apps. So think about Active Admin or Rails Admin or Administrate, but with modern technologies such as Tailwind CSS, Vue components, all the cool things like it supports import maps and all the new cool stuff that you'd use. And think about those, but with a good UI, with a nice UI that you would want to give to your end user, right? So the buttons look the same, things are aligned. It's just something that looks like a designer designed it. This is how it started out. But then it turned into this like advanced content management system where you can create all kinds of internal tools. Like think about ticketing systems. If you don't want to pay for, Zendesk or something like that and need something a little bit more custom, or think about inventory systems. We have people that are in the medical space and they're running their whole medical and clinics things on it. We have people in the security doing audits and training with Avo. So basically, when people go in and into the product, they actually see Avo. So it has all of these ways to customize the experience. So it's not just an admin panel that you and two other people are using in the company, but actually something that your customers and your consumers are using. So yeah, it just morphed into this whole thing that you can build production-ready UIs on top of Ruby on Rails.
Okay.
Is that like a big too complex of a description?
No, I think that's just right. And if people want to check that out, what's the URL for Avo?
So it's avohq.io or www.avo.cool. So avocool, that's a real top-level domain.
Got
So
it.
you can check
Okay.
it out.
And then one other thing I want to make sure that we touch on is my conference, Sin City Ruby.
Definitely.
It's like we're exchange students, you know? I go speak at
Yes.
your conference, you come speak at my conference. That is going to be in Las Vegas, coming up pretty quick here. As we record this, it's December 2023. Sin City Ruby happens in March of 2024. And I think, do I remember correctly that you're bringing your family to the States?
I need to see. We're gonna have a small trip in Asia just before that, so we'll see if I'm gonna bring the whole family or just my wife, or I'm just gonna come by myself for a few days. We're still making those plans. I haven't booked any tickets yet, but it's time to do so. How are you with organizing all of that? Where do you stand?
Well, remember, I do all this on lazy mode. So basically, all my work is done. I put up my crappy website. I set up Eventbrite so people can buy tickets. I book the hotel space. My work is
Nice.
done.
That's okay. That's okay. It's okay. As long as you have cool folks coming. So I just want to say that your conference was the first one that I had like FOMO for when it came out. Like, I know about RailsWorld and RubyConf and RailsConf and whatever, but when you announced yours, I was like, damn, I wish I could be there. And then I saw the photos, everybody on the strip and everybody, you know, having fun. Like, oh my God, I should have been there. Like, I had so much FOMO just because I think I have this, you know, attraction for like smaller conferences where you really meet people and you connect with them and you have meaningful experiences rather than, you know, the big ones. The big ones are nice as well, but they're, you know, you're not going to talk in the same way with all the people like you do in a small conference.
Yeah. Yeah. And my conference is even smaller than yours. I'm capping it at 100 people. And I don't even know if all 100 tickets will sell out. It's like 50 or 60 tickets are sold right now or something like that. But that one, yeah, I'm expecting it to be last time I did it, which was 2 years ago. So much fun. And there was something really nice about like, we're in the hotel having the conference. And then afterward, we can just like wander out and like go grab dinner somewhere within walking distance, something like that. There's obviously a bazillion options for food and activities on the strip. And then after, you know, I know you're going to have to see what your schedule and situation and stuff like that are, Adrian, but afterward, I think it would be really cool. I think maybe me and my wife are going to do something like this. To go from Vegas down to the Grand Canyon, because it's really not that far to the Grand Canyon.
Yep.
And then what we've done before is we went to the Grand Canyon and then we went down to a town called Flagstaff, Arizona.
Yep. Yep.
And a lot of people know Arizona as like a really hot desert state, which it is. But Flagstaff is up in the mountains, and so it snows there. There's pine trees, all that stuff. And it's really interesting to like go into this, again, desert state and climb up. And like as you go up, the, what do you call it? Ecosystem's not the word that I'm looking for.
The biodiversity, yeah.
Yeah, the fauna, the flora, there's a word for it, but I don't remember it. Anyway, you can see the changes just like in minutes, and it's really interesting. Okay. And it's just a really nice, like cozy mountain town to go hang out in. So there's you know, in addition to cool stuff to do at Sin City Ruby, there's definitely some cool stuff to like do after, and like you can stay and make a weekend of it because it happens on a Thursday and Friday. Can stay and maybe go on some like hikes in the desert and stuff like that. So dear listener, if you're into any of that kind of nature stuff, there's definitely those opportunities around.
Yeah. I think it's very good that you're putting it out there. And I would also put it on a website. Like it's better to over communicate these things because people make plans, they buy tickets. And I've had people that said, damn, I wished I would have gone with you at the activities, but I bought my plane ticket too early. So tell people about this because I think people are going to come. This is really cool. I mean, so you're going to the real Grand Canyon, not the Horseshoe Bend, like the close part. Are you planning to go by like rental cars? Are you thinking about getting a bus and something?
I would definitely rent a car. Yeah.
Definitely rent a car. Okay. Okay. Mm-hmm. So each of us would rent cars and go. It would be like a self-serve trip, but we do it together somehow.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, it's all up in the air right now. So like for me personally, like maybe me and my wife will just do it on our own. If it happens naturally, like maybe a group of us will all kind of go together, whatever feels right in the moment.
Gotcha. Gotcha. Sounds good. Yeah. Looking forward for that. Yeah.
Yeah. That'll be great. Cool. And real quick, I just want to rattle off the speaker list in case, dear listener, you're not familiar. So the keynote speaker is Obi Fernandez, author of The Rails Way, a book you might know. And then we have Irina Nazarova, CEO of Evil Martians. And I'm just going to read the names of everybody else. Jason Charnes, Vladimir Dementyev, Tom Rossi, Ernesto Tagworker. Yeah. Stephanie Brazil, Jeremy Smith, Andrew Atkinson, Adrian Marin, Lucian Ginda, and Drew Bragg. So I'm sure there's a name or two at least you recognize in there, dear listener. And one point I want to make, and I think this was true of Friendly RP also, is that at some conferences, I don't know if you've noticed this, Adrian, but there's almost like there's like two different strata of attendees. It's kind of cliquish almost. Like there's the plebeians, the regular attendees, and then there's like the famous people. And not that it's anybody's fault. People are just like intimidated. But one thing I really want to emphasize at Sin City Ruby is like a mixing of the speakers and the attendees. And it's going to be small and like we're going to encourage that and all that. So I think that's another benefit of attending a conference like this.
Yeah, definitely. I think you have a very good, a stellar lineup. It's again like a mix of very well technical people and people that are just super friendly. And I think because of the conference is going to be this small, 100 people, it's just going to be perfect to mix up with all of those folks. It's going to be impossible to not talk to somebody like Tom or Obi or Irina. It's going to be impossible. So I think it's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah. One last thing I'll say is that there will be games and prizes.
Oh, that's perfect. Oh, nice. I'm looking forward to that. Yeah. I was thinking about doing something like prizes as well, like a contest, but it's going to be cool. Let me ask you, are you doing sponsors this year? Are you raising sponsorships or something?
I'm open to it. It's not something I've pursued because honestly, I don't know what I would offer a sponsor. But if somebody comes to me and they're like, hey, Jason, we want to give you $1 million to put our name on the website or something like that, I'll be like, okay, maybe. Yes.
Maybe, of course. Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, well, we are doing sponsorships as Friendly. So if you want to, send $1 million in Romania, yeah, you can do that. So it's just just to be out there. Yeah, that's cool. That's a different way of doing a conference. And I think just because of that, it's not like that kind of a conference where we have top tier, sponsors and middle tier and whatever. It's just a sign that people are going to have fun and we're going to mingle.
Yeah. And, I'll mention on the topic of sponsors for this, for the conference and for my podcast, for that matter, I am my own sponsor. I imagine maybe you think of this with Avo a little bit, you can be your own sponsor.
Yep.
And so my hope, I'll just say, my hope is that people come to Sin City Ruby and get so much value and enjoy it so much that some of those people will want to work with me as a consulting client. Maybe we'll meet and really hit it off and something like that. And we'll want to continue a professional relationship as time goes on. I'm not there to pitch anybody or anything like that, but my hope is that that's one of the outcomes. So I'm kind of sponsoring myself in that way.
Yeah, definitely makes sense. You're getting some exposure and you deserve it because it's not easy doing that. How is the consulting business? How was the trip to Chicago? I know you
really
started
good.
on a world tour, which sounds amazing. Sounds so grand. How was that?
Yeah. So it's the Code with Jason World Tour. It starts now and it ends when I perish from this earth. The first stop was Chicago. I went because there was a Ruby meetup, so I made my trip coincide with that meetup. Met one of my internet friends named Gorka from Spain. If you're listening, Gorka, hello. And then I met some new people as well. I brought a few issues of my newsletter, Nonsense Monthly, and I passed them out. One guy sat there and read the whole thing while he was just sitting there. So I thought that was really nice. And then this week I went to Detroit and met with some more people. I met with 4 people. All of them were readers of Nonsense Monthly. And it was really nice to be able to meet people in person. And by the way, dear listener, Nonsense Monthly is a newsletter that I send in the mail every month. Adrian gets it in Romania. I send it to 40 countries all over the world.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's great. It's great. It's a little bit I don't want to say your diary, but it's really cool. You should subscribe to that, dear listener. And how's the consulting business going? I know you announced that you're going to go full time into consulting. How is that working out? Are there any learnings out there? Anything that, you know, was amazing for you to know and that helped you with this?
So it's going really good. And as far as learnings, there's like about a billion things I could share. That's maybe we'll have to do a whole nother episode or 10 or 20 episodes about that, because there's just so much. But right around the time I left my job that I was working at before I went full-time on consulting, I got a new client, a major university here in the Midwest. So that was a big deal for me. And then most of my other clients are CTOs, because my kind of one-liner for my consulting is that I provide coaching services to engineering leaders. So I help people like CTOs and VPs of engineering and such with planning. And maybe if they're having, you know, the thing is, like, if you're in that position, there's maybe things that you want to talk about with somebody, but you don't want to talk with your boss. You can't talk about it with the people who report to you.
Yeah.
You don't want to talk about it with your peers. So you can talk to me because I'm like outside.
Yeah. Definitely makes sense. I definitely had that, you know, is it like therapy a little bit?
Yeah, it really is.
Yeah. I think I had, you know, I've been a few times in that position, like being kind of like a CTO or having my own team. And again, like being lost and not having, you know, it wasn't knowledge about, you know, deploying or technical stuff. It wasn't like general managing people, but I had like some specific use case, like, okay, this happened with my team or this happened with this person and whatever. And I really felt the need to talk to somebody. So yeah, I think it's going to be, you know, it's a CTO therapy that you can have with Jason. That sounds good.
Yeah.
That sounds great.
Yeah. And it's funny how much it ends up being non-technical stuff, but then obviously we do get into technical stuff also, but I feel like that higher level stuff can sometimes be even more valuable. Okay, so before we go, Adrian, first of all, is there anything that we haven't touched on yet that you want to touch on before we go?
I think we're good. Looking forward to, you know, seeing you in Las Vegas. Looking forward to seeing everybody else at Friendly next year. I think we're going to have a cool conference season as well. I've seen a lot of old conferences that maybe, you know, were shut down during the pandemic. They're starting right up. So I think we're going to have a cool conference season. So I'm looking forward to seeing everybody.
Yeah, I am too. There's a veritable glut of conferences. All the conferences you could want and more. The only limit is
time
and how much you want to spend on air travel and hotels and all that. So you already shared part of this, Adrian, but where can people check out Avo and Friendly RB?
So friendlyrb.com. It's just like that, friendlyrb.com. You'll find all the details there. We're trying to be a little very thorough. And for Avo, it's avo.cool or avohq.io. You'll find us on Twitter, on GitHub. We have a Discord server. We're quite chatty. So if you're, you know, thinking about starting a project and you're not sure it's good for you, just get in touch with us. We'd love to talk to people. And I am Adrian the Dev everywhere. Twitter, GitHub, my own website, and yeah.
All right. We'll put all that stuff in the show notes, of course. And Adrian, thanks so much for coming on the show.
Thanks for having me, Jason. It was a pleasure.